Have you been arrested? Are you in jail and want to get out? Call Twin Pistol Bail Bonds at 254-697-6035. Twin Pistol Bail Bonds accepts credit cards and debit cards. Call-ins are also accepted. Conduct your business privately in the Twin Pistol Bail Bonds offices, which are located directly across from the Milam County Sheriff's Office at 707 West 4th Street in Cameron. You're in jail and you want to get out. Let Twin Pistol Bail Bonds help. Call Twin Pistol Bail Bonds now at 254-697-6035 and ask for Dustin Thomas or Lisa Roden. Twin Pistol Bail Bonds, 254-697-6035.
What you do in training, you will do in real life. If you fail to train, you have trained to fail.
Aaron's Gun Shop and 25-yard indoor range is proud to present High Cap Adventures Concealed Carry Academy. Realistic training to prepare you for real-life events. Advanced shooting techniques, drawing from concealment, clearing malfunctions.
If you plan to carry a concealed handgun for self-defense, you must be proficient in these skills, period.
Also learn how to read body language and be aware of your surroundings.
Understand speed versus accuracy.
Call Aaron's Gun Shop now to enroll into one of their classes or to get more information. Call 254-697-4721 or toll free 888-2-BE-FREE or check them out on the web at aaronsgunshop.com.
Remember, in a life or death situation, failure is not an option.
Train for success. Call Aaron's Gun Shop now, 254-697-4721 or 888-2-BE-FREE. That's 888, the number 2-BE-FREE.
Breaking and entering. Armed robbery. Aggravated assault. Kidnapping. Sexual assault. As if you didn't already know it, it's a jungle out there. But that's okay, for there is an outpost on the horizon, a ray of sunshine, and a beacon of light to guide you through these dangerous times. Aaron's Gun Shop and 25-yard indoor range is proud to present
the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio Program.
High Cap Adventure Radio Program. Today is November 3rd, 2018. We're here live for the next 2 hours, and man, did I miss being here last week. But we had an awesome training seminar, and we were teaching a school district, which will go unnamed, because they want to protect their kids, and they're doing what it takes to get it done. So it's going to be awesome to see all these other districts come to play here, and we're going to train them as well. Now, as always, ladies and gentlemen, I'm showing people in the video here my fresh cup of Joe from CEFCO Hilltop in Cameron. Tastes the same all the time. That's why I go and get my Joe, my premium Joe, and some other stuff. And they got so many different types of specials going on, I don't even know which one to pick. So I'm just going to tell you, at the Hilltop CEFCO in Cameron, you go down the aisles and they got stickers on the glass doors, stickers sticking out of the aisles showing all these different things. You can buy two for this, two for that. Buy three of these. It costs only this much. And then what you do is you buy all those drinks because you're going to go right next door to Clem McKeska Barbecue, right there at the Hilltop CEFCO on the right side of the building, and you're going to get either your barbecue plate special or your catfish special. Let me explain that. You buy a barbecue plate for regular price. The next one is half price. If you get a catfish plate, you get an extra piece of fish for free, and that's a great deal. Let me tell you, the catfish is very good, But you must say you heard the special on the radio on this program here. Otherwise, you ain't going to get it. Okay, so check it out and make sure you get those specials. Now, if you want to be part of the show, you can give us a call here at 254-697-6633. You can give me an email at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com. You can go directly to the website, aaronsgunshop.com. Go to the YouTube channel. Become a subscriber to the YouTube channel. Got fantastic videos there. All different types of things. Product spotlights, legal issues, special guests. A lot of good stuff. Then also follow us on Instagram and like us on Facebook. Let's get the numbers up. And thank you for everybody who's been contributing to that. Now, we've got a lot going on in the show today. So what I'm going to do is give you a list of things, show highlights that are coming up. And you can sit down, buckle yourself in, jack up the volume, get your note, pencil and paper ready for note taking. We're going to be doing true stories of self-defense from the American Rifleman's The Armed Citizens column. Learn from others what to do and what not to do in situations of self-defense. And this week's License to Carry Attorney segment, I will have Super Attorney Rick Dodd, and we will discuss rhetoric and how it can possibly get us in trouble legally, personally, and in self-defense mode. This week's Tactical Snacking segment, here we go, I'm tongue-tied today, huh? This week's Tactical Snacking segment with the delicious Janae Goodman will be cooking with candy, things we can do with all that leftover Halloween candy. Sounds like a sweet deal to me, right? Where are the groans? At 11 o'clock, the voice of law enforcement, retired police chief Randy Dixon, the man of manners, the duke of decency, the communicator of common sense and all-around good guy, Randy Dixon, is the voice of law enforcement. Now, since it's Thanksgiving, or right around the corner anyway, Liquor Depot, right here in Cameron in the Milam Plaza next to Brookshire Brothers, has a whole lot of liquid spirits to enjoy. Today, I will be highlighting Wild Turkey 101 Bourbon Whiskey. Now, if you burn your turkey or it comes out dry, don't worry. This liquid turkey will be perfect every time. This week's product spotlight, sponsored by ANC Firearms and Heidenheimer, is the Springfield M1A rifle. This is a beautiful rifle. Go to aaronsgunshop.com, go to the Facebook page and see me with it, and then call ANC Firearms at 254-983-4417 to purchase it. You're going to love it. Today's special guest will be retired Green Beret, Mark Boyer. This past weekend, like I mentioned, we did a training seminar for a school district which will remain unnamed. And we're going to discuss how it all went and how you all can benefit from it, too, if you decide to do it. Finally, Master Cindy Key, owner of Central Texas Martial Arts Academy in Rockdale, will use me as practice target to show us all how to protect ourselves when it comes to self-defense. So with all that, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to have true stories and, of course, my opinion piece. So we'll see you on the other side. This segment of Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio program is being brought to you by Twin Pistol Bail Bonds, LLC. Have you been arrested? Are you in jail and want to get out? Call Twin Pistol Bail Bonds at 254-697-6035. Twin Pistol Bail Bonds accepts credit cards and debit cards. Call-ins are also accepted. Conduct your business privately in the Twin Pistol Bail Bonds offices, which are located directly across from the Milam County Sheriff's Office at 707 West 4th Street in Cameron. You're in jail and you want to get out. Let Twin Pistol Bail Bonds help. Call Twin Pistol Bail Bonds now at 254-697-6035 and ask for Dustin Thomas or Lisa Roden. Twin Pistol Bail Bonds, 254-697-6035.
This next segment is made possible by Clem Bekeska's Barbecue in Cameron.
Right.
if you want a radio show, it's a long way to the top. Okay. It takes a lot of work to do a radio show. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're here again. Today is November 3rd, 2018. We're in our stories of self-defense, true stories of self-defense, and I got this out of the November issue of the American Rifleman. I'm going to read it cold, haven't seen them yet, and see what my initial reaction is. And maybe Super Attorney Rick Dodd here sitting to my left might want to jump in with a comment or two if he wants to. Story number one, dark clouds rolled in and blocked out Saturday afternoon rays of sunshine during a back-to-school picnic in Florida when a gunman sprayed multiple shots near the 150 people, many of whom were children attending the Peace in the City event. Fortunately, an attendee with a carry permit was on hand to put a quick end to the disturbance. Rick, I'm already seeing, is this gentleman with a license to carry in a school-sponsored activity? I don't know. Let's see.
Sounds like it.
Police said the suspect had gotten into a fist fight with another person at the park. After those fisticuffs, one of the participants retreated, only to return a few minutes later with a gun. He squeezed off several rounds before the armed bystander shot him, sending him to the hospital with life-threatening injuries. The shooting was live-streamed on Facebook by a disc jockey who was spinning the hits at the gathering. Police called the armed citizen a hero. The park was filled with families and children, and at the time, it was an active shooter situation for him, and he was trained enough to deal with it, and he did, Titusville Police Sergeant Bill Amos said. Okay. Obviously, let's put it this way. If this was a school-sponsored event here in Texas, if this was in Texas and it was a school-sponsored event, you couldn't have your weapon there unless you had written permission, okay? So since I don't know the details 100%, and because he did save the day, the law enforcement saying, okay, cool, no problems. But just so you know, if you're in a school-sponsored activity, okay, or event that's happening, and you're within the confines of that event, and you're a licensed to carry person, unless you have written regulation, you cannot be at that location, okay? Story number two. One father's greatest gift to his daughter before he died was that he taught her to shoot. The training and commitment to our firearms freedom paid off in Forest City, North Carolina, when the 15-year-old girl fatally shot her mom's abusive boyfriend as he tried to choke the life out of her. It was actually a joint effort with her 12-year-old brother. The two children saw the man trying to strangle their mother and heard him threaten to cut her throat. At that, the boy retrieved a Colt single-action revolver. His sister grabbed the gun from him and fired twice, shooting the mother's attacker in the chest. The teen will not be charged, according to the authorities. That's cut and dry too, right? Child, even though they're under the age to have possession of the weapon, they were doing it in a self-defense mode.
Yep.
And everything's good to go. See, it's great to know the laws. It's great to know the laws. Understand them. That's why we teach those classes, so you understand the laws. Story number three. When it came to choosing between her children and her boyfriend, the blood ties ruled supreme in a case in South Fulton, Georgia. A mother of five had recently ditched her lover. He apparently didn't take the rejection well, coming to her house the day after the breakup and kicking in the door. At the sound of the first thud against the door, the woman called 911 and armed herself. After her ex successfully dismantled the door, she warned him that she would shoot if he didn't turn around and leave. He ignored her and ended up with a bullet in the chest. The armed mother will not be charged, South Fulton police said. Well, heck, I mean, that's cut and dry, too. I mean, I can't argue that. I can't even bring law into this. Somebody's trying to break in your door. You have every right to do it. And she did what she had to do. So I commend her.
Somebody needs to come and pronounce him.
Pronounce him dead?
Yeah.
Okay. And who would that be?
The law.
The law. Okay, so we got the law into the story. See, one way or another, we get the law into the story. But she was totally in the right. I commend her. And everybody needs to have a weapon at hand and at the ready, because you never know when it's going to happen. All right.
It sounded like he gave her plenty of time to pull it out and arm it, though.
Yeah, because she's probably thinking she wasn't going to do it.
Probably.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, as always, I got an opinion, and I'm going to give you my opinion right now. This one's called Time Squandered. Ladies and gentlemen, someone made a comment to me that I'm always doing something. Don't you ever stop? Don't you ever take a break? The answer to those comments are yes, yes, and yes. Time on this planet is too short. Yes, I'm always doing something. Sometimes that something is nothing. In my early years, it was reckless and money-oriented. Not too long ago, it was business related for family support reasons. At this point in my life, it's do what I want to do, but with everything I do, let God run through me. Let me somehow, some way, in all that I do, be a reflection of how God wants me to be. To be a person with a joy that flows through me that makes a person ask, why am I the way I am? My answer will be, I have chosen to let the Lord use me in the manner that he sees fit for his purpose. I totally believe that I can do what I want, and somehow, some way, God knowing my heart will use me for his goodwill. The more I do, the more people I will interact with, the more I am a vessel for him to use. Squandering my use of time by always, and I emphasize always, watching football, playing video games, and never getting out of the house to associate with people is not a good way to be a vessel for the Lord. Why do I push God and Jesus so much? Because my heart swells with their presence. And am I the poster boy for being a good Christian? Ah, hell no. I'm one of the worst ones around. But to God, that doesn't matter. He wants my heart. And ladies and gentlemen, he has it. The only problem is that I'm like a kid growing up, still making mistakes. So God gives me a little spanking and sends me on my way to try again. The thought of squandering time just doesn't compute with me. I hope it doesn't compute with you either. Let me clarify. Squandering time, in my opinion, and that's what it is, my opinion, doesn't mean watching football and playing video games is bad. Just have God in your hearts and let him shine through. And to all of you who don't believe, that's okay too. It's okay because I know that unless you just outright reject his calling, he will use you too. Learn his voice so when he does call, you'll know it's him. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're a believer, you'll realize that all we do is fleeting. So if that's the case, then fill yourself with him and do his work that will always carry on. And that, my friends, is the opposite of squandering time. Joel, let's take a break. When we come back, we're going to have Super Attorney Rick Dodd, and we're going to be talking about rhetoric. See you on the other side.
This last segment was brought to you by Clem McKeska's Barbecue in Cameron.
For sales, service, maintenance, and supplies for our motorcycles, ATV, Ford Trackers, and more, stop by Two Wheel Customs, located on Highway 53 in Zopchickville. Open Tuesday through Saturday, Two Wheel Customs offers the best in repairs and maintenance on any make, model, or size of motorcycle. If you're looking to buy or sell your unit, David Trojan and his crew can take all the hassle of paperwork and displaying your motorcycle. If you're looking to buy, Two Wheel Customs always has vehicles on display for purchase. In addition, you can find a store full of varying apparel, everything from boots to helmets, along with a great inventory of accessories for your motorcycle. Give Two Wheel Customs a call at area code 254-760-2250. That's 254-760-2250. Two Wheel Customs on Highway 53 in Zopchickville.
Next time you need heating and air conditioning or even duct cleaning, call Climate Control Air Conditioning and Heating in Rockdale. Routine maintenance, repairs, installation, or duct cleaning. Get the pros at Climate Control Air Conditioning and Heating. 512-446-4020. Stop by 1244 US 79 in Rockdale. They can service all brands of residential and commercial HVAC systems and are available 24 hours a day, including weekends and holidays. For the best, call Climate Control in Rockdale. 512-446-4020.
Ladies and gentlemen, Clem McKeska's has a long history of great tasting barbecue in the Central Texas area. But did you know that Cameron has its very own Clem McKeska's barbecue? Located inside the Hilltop Sefco right next door to the KMIL studios. Not only does Clem McKeska's have excellent barbecue, but absolutely delicious fried catfish and burgers that will make your mouth water. Eat in or drive through, need to pre-order, no problem. Call Clem's at 254-697-6060. Clem McKeska Barbecue in Cameron inside the Hilltop Sefco. Get your tender, finger-licking good barbecue and so much more from Clem McKeska's Barbecue in Cameron. Hi everyone, Matt, your host from Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio program here, and I'm very excited to tell you about our new sponsor, Liquor Depot, located in the Milam Plaza right next to Brookshire Brothers. As you know, I'm a bartender, and when I walk into Liquor Depot, I get excited looking at all the variations of wine, beer, and spirits. So if you're going to have a party, wedding, or business event, and you want to serve alcohol, Liquor Depot is the place to come to stock your bar and your icebox. Great prices, excellent selection, and lots of friendly help to get you what you need. There are lots of great enhanced gift ideas, too, for any occasion. Liquor Depot is open Monday through Saturday from 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. and is located at 1604 West 4th. So stop in today and stock up or call Liquor Depot at 254-605-0766.
Capilino Dodd Krebs Law Firm focuses on cases involving asbestos exposure, mesothelioma, birth trauma, defective products, and injury and death resulting from car and truck wrecks. Call the tough, experienced injury attorneys at Capilino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron. Call 888-MESO-FIRM or 254-697-4965.
When criminals in this world appear and bring the laws that they should fear and fight through all who see or hear, the cry goes up both far and near for underdog.
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 Underdog. Speed of lightning, roar of thunder, fighting dog. Power, thunder.
Underdog.
Underdog.
Underdog. All right, ladies and gentlemen. If you got a problem and you're the underdog, we got some awesome attorneys here. Super Attorney Rick Dodd to my left. Also, you heard Attorney Extraordinaire Benton Ross Watson. You got a great team going on here. So, Capilino Dodd Krebs Law Firm, they sponsor this segment. They do a fantastic job for supporting us, and we can't thank them enough. Rick, welcome to the show.
Good to be here. I still take issue with your underdog. You know, most of my clients are really heroes. They get in situations that normal people find themselves in abnormal situations. And the best clients, of course, are heroes in that they persevere and push through it and do good things for themselves and their family, even under those abnormal circumstances.
Well, then maybe I'll have to look for some better music. I'll find something.
Well, what I do is the respectforyou.com is our website, and I think
mental note,
our
Joel,
clients need
mental
respect.
Note, coming in and going out of the segment, we're going to do respect, okay? That's what we'll do. All right, Rick. I talked to you about rhetoric. We got lots of rhetoric going on, but let's touch on the license to carry aspect of it. If somebody,
well, let's first talk about rhetoric. What is rhetoric? And of course, these days, most people look at rhetoric as being a negative thing. You say, oh, well, that's just a bunch of rhetoric. The truth is, rhetoric is just a style or a science, if you may, of persuasion, oral persuasion. And you know, it's been going on forever. Like, for instance, back in the day of Plato, he studied rhetoric and wrote about rhetoric, and he says that rhetoric was the persuasion of ignorant masses within the courts and assemblies.
Oh, man, that's perfect.
Yeah.
That's definitely what's happening.
He says that, in his opinion, it's merely a form of flattery and functions similar to cookery, which masks the undesirable and healthy foods by making it taste good.
That's awesome.
So, well, yeah, rhetoric's been around for a long time. And you know, when we talk about rhetoric these days, it's usually in a political realm. But also, it can be in the scientific realm. These days, more so than other days, at least in my career, scientists have to use rhetoric, if you may, to persuade their audience that their science is good and sufficient, and by demonstrating that they used the correct number of people to make their study, that their likelihood of it being correct is up in the 98th percentile. In other words, there's court cases that require these things today, that if I'm going to use science in the courtroom, I have to prove the likelihood of it being good science as opposed to junk science, which makes perfect sense.
But you're putting rhetoric in a good spotlight, saying, you know, you're just trying to persuade somebody for good reasons. But
yeah,
we're also going to get into why rhetoric can be...
Well, we normally would talk about that as being poor rhetoric or empty rhetoric. Talk about empty promises. A lot of negativism goes into the word rhetoric. But it is a art, if you may, a science and an art on how to persuade people. That's the bottom line. And when you talk about manipulation, you know, that's sort of a negative term as opposed to shaping our society. Some of the old guys that, like Socrates and Aristotle, one of his students, they used rhetoric to shape their societies, the Romans and the Greek, which was a good thing. They used rhetoric to bring people together in such a fashion that they could be a government. And this was some of the first governments. And, of course, we know the Roman Empire was successful for a long time because of their rhetoric.
It's very, you're saying all this stuff, and I just never looked at it that way. And then when you read that from Socrates, it just molded it all together for me. I get it. But how do you combat it if you don't want the rhetoric?
Well, Cicero says that in order for it to be good rhetoric, the person delivering has to be a good person.
Yeah, how do you?
Person who is enlightened on various civil topics. Someone who, in other words, knows a lot about people, biology, the environment, protection of people's rights, and so forth. So when you hear someone talking and your mind immediately starts clicking, saying, oh, that's rhetoric, that ain't good, then you can kind of bet that that person is not under the, and I'll use my little quote fingers here, good person category.
It'll be on video. You'll be all right. Okay.
So there are ways to train for rhetoric.
What, to train to know when you're getting rhetoric or train on how to give rhetoric?
On how to give rhetoric.
Okay.
Yeah, they're actually, well, like the Harvard debate team, you know, they study rhetoric all the time on how to deliver stuff in a fashion that is believable. And there are, you know, certain ways to do that. First, you have to initiate what you want to talk about. You have to organize what you want to talk about in some sort of a fashion so that when you do talk about it, the other person gets it. Then you have to study certain words, like, you know, manipulate and those kinds of words mm-hmm. we just talked about, whether you want to place them in certain areas. And then when you deliver it, you have to be animated. There's actually a study of animal rhetoric where people look at animals and how they communicate with each other. And as human beings, as we are animals, the way we deliver our rhetoric is important with our hand gestures, the way we inflect our voices. And then after we do that, we have to memorize a lot of the stuff we're going to say, because if we read it, it's not going to be as believable as we animate it and deliver it off the cuff.
Okay, let me ask you a question. You're talking about animals. The first thing I thought of was a gorilla. A gorilla comes up, starts beating his chest. Is that rhetoric, or is that just a normal thing for a gorilla to do to warn an animal that, hey, I'm about to pounce on you? How do you differentiate rhetoric? And then when you put that to the human sense, how does one person do a normal response that you would think is normal to a situation? How do you define it from being normal as compared to it being rhetoric?
Well, rhetoric is normal. I mean, we communicate all the time using symbols, and voice is a symbol. In other words, when I say something, your brain computes it into information, which is then soaked into your brain and believable or not believable, however you want to, but it's still rhetoric. When the gorilla comes up and beats his chest, another gorilla, maybe bigger and more powerful, looks at that and goes, oh, well, that ain't nothing. He does that every day to me. Whereas another gorilla might cower into the corner because he knows the next step is going to get him beat up. So
then what you're saying is the word rhetoric is kind of like the word brandishing, because a long time ago I thought the word brandishing was meant where the person draws the weapon out and starts waving it around. And it also means, I found out, that if I'm in Penal Code 904, threat is justifiable force, and I open up my jacket and show my weapon, that is brandishing. But it's not in a criminal sense, it was in a protective sense. So the word rhetoric, you're saying, is used for both. Rhetoric is a person's ability to communicate in whatever may be perceived as normal to somebody else.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah.
I got it right from Rick. That's pretty good.
So there is, like Aristotle, he talked about the different types of rhetoric. Forensic, which is one that I'm involved in a lot, it has to do with the judicial process. So forensic rhetoric might be me delivering an open statement or a closing argument in front of a jury, or my witness or my client might be delivering their story to the jury. So Forensics, as we know, has to do with everything in the courtroom. A lot of us talk about forensics in the way of pathology, where a pathologist comes in and talks about the bullet wound, exit and entry and all that good stuff, DNA. So that's forensic. Then also you have your deliberative. And deliberative, according to Aristotle, is what we see in politics. And, of course, we're getting a big dose of deliberative rhetoric these days.
All over the place, yes.
All over the place. So anyway, then there's the ceremonial rhetoric. And that is, what we usually see in like eulogies or wedding toast. In other words, we compliment someone or wish them goodness for the rest of their life. And of course, we do all these kinds of different rhetorics all the time in our lives.
So why do you think that they're using the key word rhetoric? As it's almost the word rhetoric is almost rhetoric and manipulation to make it sound like it's so bad what people are doing, when in reality it may be just a person challenging another person to a challenge of them saying you're one way and they're denying it and saying it that they're not in another way.
Yeah, that's
right. I'm confusing myself, I think.
Well, we as human beings always take our shortcuts, and we've heard so much about empty rhetoric and bad rhetoric. Well, we just started leaving those off now. We just talk about, that's just rhetoric. And see, when I use it, I kind of growl, that's just rhetoric.
That's rhetoric.
Yeah. So we've communicated the fact that we don't like it just by the way we've said it or our actions when we like pump our fist up in the air.
Uh-huh.
It's just rhetoric. So that is just rhetoric.
I've got all these articles here, and I know you've got articles too. And the reason I cut them out was just, it was right there in the headlines.
Oh, it's just rhetoric. And, you know, anytime you pick up the Temple Daily Telegram, you turn to page, I think it's page 4 these days, you're going to see rhetoric. And in my opinion, it's going to be rhetoric from the right side, because Temple Daily Telegram is in business.
Well, this is on page 2, by the way.
Okay, well, I'm talking about the editorial page.
Okay.
And when you are in the business of marketing, you use a lot of rhetoric, right? So a newspaper has to market its product. So guess what? It's going to speak to the people that are going to buy newspapers. So the folks that are going to be reading the Temple Daily Telegram would fit into a special group of people who would like to read what we would normally see as right-sided rhetoric. So that's why when you look at the editorial page, you always see the cartoon as being right-sided. Now, you know, there are a few exceptions, very few, and gosh, as I've watched and read the Temple Daily Telegram for about 40 years, I've seen the exceptions become fewer and fewer. In fact, I don't recall seeing an exception now for about 2 years, but I'm sure somebody could find one.
Write an editorial on it and send it in. Maybe they'll publish it.
Oh, I don't know. There's plenty of people that do that already.
The top headline here reads, anger towards news media spreads into local communities. And then the headline below it goes, Trump escalates anti-media rhetoric after wave of violence. So it's pandering to both sides with the rhetoric. And I'll tell you what, before we go any further, since this is a gun show, can we encapsulate this rhetoric and how it can be used negatively or positively or whatever in a self-defense mode or an escalation of self-defense, and how it can potentially bite you in the rear end?
Oh, sure we can. Absolutely. In fact, it's written into our laws. For instance, when we look at Penal Code Section 9.31, the self-defense, which we've talked about extensively on this show, and then we look at the use of deadly force and the ability to counter that with your own self-defense, you have to know that you cannot provoke the person against whom the force was used. And so here we'll just use the word provoke as in place of rhetoric. In other words, you can't provoke someone with your rhetoric into attacking you and then say, oh, this was self-defense. And, you know, the use of, and also it has to do with the fact that if you are being provoked, in other words, if someone else is provoking you, and you use the word brandishing a gun and things like that. Remember, we have to look at it from the view of the person who's shooting. Now, we're talking about two different people here. First off, we were talking about the defendant. Now we're talking about the victim. if the victim uses verbal provocation only, you can't act in self-defense. In other words, you can't go after them with your gun and shoot them. So those are the rhetorical things with regard to self-defense. And there are a bunch of cases that talk about what is and what is not provocation. So I guess we could talk a little bit about that. When we are talking about what is and what is not provocation, you have to remember that some of the case law says that someone may have a perfect right to self-defense, though he may not be entirely free from blame from in a transaction, if the blame or wrong was not intended to produce the occasion. Now, that's sort of convoluted, but it requires an intent on behalf of the shooter, the defendant in this case. In other words, did I provoke this? Well, if I intended to provoke it, that goes a long way, right?
I would think so, yeah.
Yeah, it goes a long way if I intended to provoke it. But just the intent alone is not enough, our case law says. He must have said or done something for the purpose of inducing an attack upon him, which was calculated to bring about that attack. So there's some case law that talks about...
Can you clarify that in layman's terms?
Well, yeah. If, say, for instance, I intended to piss somebody off and get them to attack me so I could shoot them, but I didn't actually do anything. I just, like, you know, stuck a pistol in my belt. And, you know, I had every intention of provoking, but I didn't quite get that far because he was already provoked. Then I could use self-defense as a defense.
That would be very hard to prove, wouldn't it?
Well, again, the totality of the circumstances. Really is what we're looking at when we go into the courtroom. And the state has the burden. It's a pretty powerful burden. Beyond a reasonable doubt. So if the jury decides that the totality of the circumstances will not allow them to convict this person beyond a reasonable doubt, then he goes free.
I'm bouncing back and forth here. Can you clarify the preponderance of the evidence and what you just said, which was...
Well, preponderance is basically a more than 50%. In other words, the probability, preponderance, probably. So when you and I talk about probably, we're talking about most likely. In other words, more than 50%.
And that would be used in something that's not like a deadly situation, right?
Well, it certainly can be a deadly situation in civil cases where, which is my area of expertise, where we're going after money damages. Compensation for the injuries, if you may, I am held to a burden of preponderance of the evidence simply because we are limited to that sort of damage. Whereas in a criminal aspect where Ross Watson does his work, we are looking at more of a beyond a reasonable doubt. And the reason there is because we're looking at taking away a person's most prized possession, and that is their body, and actually incarcerating them.
Okay.
And in some situations, actually taking their life.
Right. I knew there was a definite difference, and I couldn't remember where they applied to, so that clarified it.
Yeah, yeah. So, like, for instance, here's another case that talks about, despite the defendant's claim of self-defense, conviction for assault was supported by legally sufficient evidence that defendant hit the victim before victim ever attempted to pull the gun from the back seat of the car. In other words, the defendant provoked this situation. And the jury felt like he provoked it. And under the penal code that we just talked about, he does not have a right to have a self-defense verdict in his favor.
Wow. So this stuff can get so twisted, man. That's what you just got to either have a good attorney in your back pocket.
Well, here's some more twist to it. And although the defendant provoked the fight, if it ceased and afterward the deceased renewed the quarrel, defendant would not be deprived of the right of self-defense. In other words, even though he may have provoked it, if there was a time period in there where things kind of de-escalated, but then the deceased came back and said, "Oh, I'm going to get you now,"
right?
Then he could pull his knife out or his gun out and take care of business and still have that right of self-defense. But you see, when things get twisted, what we got to understand is the jury gets to hear these facts and make the determination of whether or not these particular laws affect the case.
Couldn't it take into effect that the first argument set off the other guy, even though the first guy backed off, the other guy was steaming, but he wouldn't have been steaming had the other guy not done anything in the first place. So even though the first guy backs off, the other guy's steaming and he comes back, isn't it really saying that because of the actions in the beginning, this guy would never have had this attitude if the actions at first never happened? So then it can fall back on him where he doesn't have the right of defense?
Well, attitude and actions, of course, are separated. And even though I may have a bad attitude, that doesn't give me the right to action. So if there is a bad attitude and there is a de-escalation of the initial conduct, the provocation, if you may, then everything needs to back away. Now,
I'm doing this for a reason.
Here's another twist into it. If one intends to provoke difficulty, and although the means used are not reasonably calculated to provoke, yet if they do in fact provoke, he is responsible for what he actually intended to do. So that's really, to me, that's really twisted. But hey, that's what the case law says. The Texas Court of Criminal Appeals has used that in a 1900 case, and it is the law today.
Can you explain that in a simple term?
Well, it's kind of hard to, but it has to do with provocation. In other words, if I were to provoke a situation, mm-hmm. and I meant to provoke it, but I said something like, your mother wears army boots, that's not something that would normally provoke someone else to pull their gun or knife out. But, gosh.
I don't know. Sometimes there is.
Situations, you know, yeah. It must.
I guess. All right.
So he is responsible for what he actually intended to do, because maybe he knew that the person he was talking to was of such a culture that,
that's right, yeah.
that would really upset him mm-hmm. to the point of provoking them.
And that's rhetoric.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Exactly. So then if we look at an act, you know, that's going to be more provoking than words. And, of course, if the act is itself is provocation, like pulling a knife or pulling a gun, and you couple it with words, like I'm going to shoot you or I'm going to stab you, then that's a pretty solid provocation. But it's still a question of fact, is what really happened. For instance, how often would you hear a defendant on witness saying, yeah, I intended to provoke this? So you got to get into, well, what kind of facts and what kind of evidence would clearly show that he had intended to provoke this. So there you get into something like arming yourself. And the law is pretty clear that just arming yourself and going to talk to someone about a situation, a difficulty, if you may, in other words, asking for explanation about why it is you scared my wife, is not provocation in and of itself.
I'll tell you, I want to say a statement. You tell me if it's, in your opinion, correct. A person, let's say with a license to carry, if you think it's cut and dry, your decision-making process, it would be a fair statement to say, correct me if I'm wrong, that when you go to the courtroom, if you have to go to court, all the things that you thought about or knew about before you got into that situation is going to be a fraction of a percent of what the attorneys and the court and the laws are going to hit you with, like preponderance of the evidence, rhetoric, and all these different terms we're talking about, all these different things you have to analyze, that you're going to be in store for a big surprise, cost a lot of money, potentially even take some of your time and alter your life. And that's why it is so important to know your mindset, your mechanics, your laws, and whatever else that can supplement or aid and assist you in keeping yourself alive and out of jail.
Absolutely. You get another attaboy today.
Oh, gee, thanks.
So the concept is, though, that everything is supposed to be looked at through the eyes and the mind of the defendant. In other words, what did he perceive? So if you are in a situation where you're trained and you're cool-headed, you can be observant. You can analyze your observations in such a fashion that you will not make mistakes. And if you have a license to carry, that means you've taken certain classes and done certain research, studied certain things, and your words then in the courtroom would be perceived by the jury to have more effect than if you were just somebody that had 7 prior felonies for assault.
I train, I read, I listen, I study. And because of that, I have come into the I've come to the point where in my mind I have lines in the sand, and there's different situations. There's invasion of the home, assault on the street, protection of a third person, protection of a third person's property. I have all these red lines in the sand as it must get to this point before I will do anything because it's not worth it. So I'm thinking, people out there, that's why it's so important to know yourself, know your mechanics of your weapon and surrounding areas, know laws, know all these different things, and realize not just to look at the situation, but 10, 20 steps beyond the situation as to what can happen, and draw your red line and say, it doesn't matter what the law says. I don't care what people are going to think. I felt it was necessary at that point in time in my life to do what I had to do. Otherwise, you're going to be in for a shock, attorney fees, and possible jail time.
Well, and also, like the defendant that's sitting over in the jail, I think in Coryell County now, who shot a couple of policemen who were knocking his door down and running in the dead of night, like at 2 or 3 a.m. He said he'd rather be convicted by 12 rather than carried by 6. So, you know, sometimes we make mistakes and the aftermath is bad, but if we don't make those mistakes in the law, sometimes the before math might be bad.
Right.
So those are all things, though, that if you are trained and if you study and you consider all the facts in front of you, you won't make those mistakes and you won't be carried by 6 and you won't be convicted by 12.
Ladies and gentlemen, I have Rick on here. I have Ross on here. If you go to aaronsgunshop.com and go to the YouTube channel, I've got all these videos. You need to go look at them. It's free advice. And you need to remember these guys and put their numbers in your phones. And God forbid if anything happens, you need to call them. They're experts in their fields. They know what they're doing. They can help you out. I'm sure you can get a consultation if necessary. I'm not sure you're what you provide on a consultation. First one, free. Do you guys
do generally, I tell them whether or not I think their case is valuable, economically feasible, worthwhile, and if it's not, I generally tell them why not.
Okay, so you're going to know right up front pretty much from an experienced attorney who's been around the block many times, knows what he's doing, he can assist you. But I'm telling you, you're foolish, especially if you got a license to carry and don't go to my YouTube channel and look at all these videos. We've gone over tons of stuff, and we've gone over things 2 or 3 times with different angles at them, to just clarify even more some of those penal codes and other laws. We're running out of time, Rick. Do you want to encapsulate this somehow? Everything we talked about with rhetoric when it comes to personal, political, whatever you want to say?
We talked about it. Let me throw in another little ending thing here about how rhetoric has changed. Some of the case laws I read that talked about how words alone, if clearly designated to do so, may provoke. Like calling a person son of a harlot would be sufficient provocation to preclude self-defense if induced cause difficulty. In other words, if I go up and I call someone son of a harlot back in 1898,
yeah, that's bad.
We might use different words today, but it would be the same thing. And if I did that and that would provoke someone then to attack me, and I intended them to attack me so then I could kill them, then I can't use self-defense.
Self-defense, right.
Yeah. Okay. So provocation, rhetoric, it's kind of the same thing. That's what we're looking at in the penal code. One way you, if you provoke an attack so that you can shoot someone, that ain't good. If you attack someone who's just using rhetoric, then that ain't good. So
let me add this to that. I saw this from the comic page, Rubes. It's a 1-squared comic. And it goes, you got 2 vultures sitting on the skull of a steer there. It says, the name-calling, the backbiting, the accusations. Frankly, I just can't stomach politics anymore. And considering our diet, that's saying a lot. Okay. That's a good way to wrap it up.
The vultures, they're always on the hunt.
That's it. Rick, tell everybody how they get a hold of you.
Oh, they can look at respectforyou.com and look at some of the stuff that we do. And they can look at some of the accolades that we've accomplished as far as our education, experience, study, interactions, things of that nature. They can call us They can come by 312 South Houston. There's all kinds of ways. We've been here for 38 years. We know what we're doing. Give us a shout.
Fantastic. Rick, thanks a lot. Can't tell you how much we appreciate your support. Joel, let's take a break, and when we come back, we're going to do something. Probably going to be topics of interest, and then we'll have the delicious Janae Goodman before the top of the hour. See you on the other side.
Cabellino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron focuses on cases involving personal injury litigation, including asbestos exposure and mesothelioma. At Cabellino Dodd Krebs Law Firm, you are never treated like a number. Cases are accepted on a contingency basis, so clients do not have to pay out of their pocket. Contact Cabellino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron today. Call 888-MESO-FIRM.
Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who has been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Bitros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. aaronsgunshop.com.
Next time you need heating and air conditioning or even duct cleaning, call Climate Control Air Conditioning and Heating in Rockdale. Routine maintenance, repairs, installation, or duct cleaning. Get the pros at Climate Control Air Conditioning and Heating. 512-446-4020. Stop by 1244 US 79 in Rockdale. They can service all brands of residential and commercial HVAC systems and are available 24 hours a day, including weekends and holidays. For the best, call Climate Control in Rockdale. 512-446-4020.
For sales, service, maintenance, and supplies for our motorcycles, ATV, four trackers, and more, stop by Two Wheel Customs, located on Highway 53 in Zopchickville. Open Tuesday through Saturday, Two Wheel Customs offers the best in repairs and maintenance on any make, model, or size of motorcycle. If you're looking to buy or sell your unit, David Trojan and his crew can take all the hassle of paperwork and displaying your motorcycle. If you're looking to buy, Two Wheel Customs always has vehicles on display for purchase. In addition, you can find a store full of varying apparel, everything from boots to helmets, along with a great inventory of accessories for your motorcycle. Give Two Wheel Customs a call at area code 254-760-2250. That's 254-760-2250. Two Wheel Customs on Highway 53 in Zopchickville.
Vicki Goza of Mark Burns Label Funeral Home in Cameron talks about being just a phone call away.
We are at a family's disposal 24/7. You don't get an answering machine. You may be talking with the family late at night or thought of something. You can pick up that phone and call and know that you're going to talk to one of us.
Call anytime, 254-697-3661.
You will feel like you are the only family that we're working with.
Hi, everyone. Matt, your host from Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio program here, and I'm very excited to tell you about our new sponsor, Liquor Depot, located in the Milam Plaza right next to Brookshire Brothers. As you know, I'm a bartender, and when I walk into Liquor Depot, I get excited looking at all the variations of wine, beer, and spirits. So if you're going to have a party, wedding, or business event, and you want to serve alcohol, Liquor Depot is the place to come to stock your bar and your icebox. Great prices, excellent selection, and lots of friendly help to get you what you need. There are lots of great enhanced gift ideas, too, for any occasion. Liquor Depot is open Monday through Saturday from 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. and is located at 1604 West 4th. So stop in today and stock up or call Liquor Depot at 254-605-0766. Welcome back, everybody. November 3rd, 2018, and I want to go over some points of interest here. If you're looking to take a license to carry class, the next one I'm going to be doing is November 17th. So if you're looking to get a license, November 17th, Saturday, 2 p.m., for new persons doing it, it's $60. If you have a license already, but you just want to go over the laws again and just refresh yourself, it's $40. I don't have to do any special paperwork for you there. So you can go to aaronsgunshop.com, go to the LTC page, give me an email that you want to confirm for that class, and we'll lock you into place. It's November 17th, Saturday, 2 o'clock. I think I did it just at the right time before Thanksgiving, so everybody should be able to do it. Now, ladies and gentlemen, as you know, I'm a bartender, and I provide bartending services for weddings, parties, company events, and this is the season for it. So if you're looking to have a party, whether it be, like I said, weddings, parties, or a company event, and you're looking to have a bartender to serve drinks fast, professionally, and with flair, give me a call. Just go to 254-697-4721, and we can talk about it, give you details, and explain how that's going to work. Now, I've been having a lot of people ask me if I can train them, and I haven't set my schedule up where I could do that before. I have set it up now to where I can take people's requests. If you give me a call, if you're looking to get personal training and you can't make it to the range, we can coordinate a time where I can come out there to give you basic training. We can't do live fire, of course, but we have a computer system set up, and I can help you in that respect with many different tricks of the trade that I can show you to enhance your shooting skill, okay? This is personal gun training for someone who truly wants to get better, and you're going to spend some money with me. Be prepared, okay? If you're serious about it and you can't make it to somewhere and you need somebody to come to you, I provide that service. It's going to cost you, not that much, but it's going to cost you, and we'll talk about it when I get to talk to you on the phone. So if you need handgun training, you can't get out, not sure which gun to purchase, don't like the classroom environment, you want one-on-one training, I can come to you, personalized and private training at your home. Just give us a call, give me an email at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com, or just go to the website, check out the information, you'll be able to get me there one way or another. Now, also, don't forget about Clem McKeska's deals, meal deals. They got the one barbecue plate at regular price, and the second one is half price. Go see them today. Tell them you heard it on the radio. Or you can get a catfish plate and receive an extra piece of fish. But remember, you got to mention you heard it on the radio, otherwise you don't get it. Now, a little bit later on in the 11 o'clock hour, not too far into the 11 o'clock hour, Liquor Depot in the Milam Plaza next to Brookshire Brothers has a large selection of wine, beer, and spirits. And this week's highlight product is going to be Wild Turkey 101. So give George a call there at Liquor Depot, or just go see him and fill your bar an ice bucket, ice box. And a little bit later on, I'm going to be giving you a couple of recipes and talking about Wild Turkey here and what you can do with it. Because don't forget, if you burn the turkey for Thanksgiving, this one out of the bottle will be perfect every time. Okay. So Joel, let's get the delicious Janae Goodman. I'm going to have Chief running just a couple minutes late. And when we're done with Janae, we'll have the voice of law enforcement, retired police chief Randy Dixon. See you on the other side.
Hello, my lovelies. With Halloween right around the corner, I only thought it appropriate to give you some tricks that you can do with your treats. Keep these ideas in mind for all that leftover candy you're just sure to have on hand. I'm Janae Goodman, and this is Tactical Snacking. You can't go wrong with the simplest of sweets, ice cream. You can easily make your own at home and get the kids involved with this neat experiment. For an 8-ounce serving, you'll need 1 cup of half and half, 2 tablespoons of sugar, and half a teaspoon of vanilla extract. And of course, your favorite mix-ins and candies. Milky Ways, M&Ms, gummy bears even work. The world is your oyster. Just be sure to chop them up, and remember that your candy will harden a bit due to the cold temperature of your ice cream. For your setup, you'll need a pint-sized Ziploc bag, a gallon-sized Ziploc bag, or a durable large Tupperware container. Be mindful here, thinner Tupperware can and will shatter due to the intense shaking. You'll also want half a cup of kosher salt and plenty of ice cubes. First, you'll put your half and half, sugar, and vanilla, and of course those candy mix-ins, into a pint-sized bag. Be sure to seal it up tightly to avoid any spills. Set that aside. Next, set up your freezer by filling your gallon-sized bag or your Tupperware container halfway with ice. Cover it with your salt and put your pint-sized bag that you just prepared directly into the gallon-sized bag. Seal it tight, and now for the fun part. Shake, shake, and shake away for about 5 to 10 minutes, or until your ingredients begin to harden. Take your pint-sized bag out of the gallon-sized bag and introduce your shaken ice cream to a bowl or grab a spoon and dig in. Not only do kids go crazy for this, but you get a neat treat at the end. Sweet. Peanut butter brownies are such a simple combination, and it's a shame I hadn't actually thought about it sooner. Simply introduce your Reese's peanut butter cups to your favorite brownie recipes by putting them directly on top before you stick the pan in the oven. If you need a brownie recipe, email me and let me know. I've got one on tap. You feeling cake instead? Well, mash your peanut butter cups along with your favorite cake recipe, or simplify things with a box cake mix. Bake your cake based on the instructions, crumble it up, and mix in melted peanut butter or cake frosting until your cake crumbs are slightly wet and sticky. Mold them into golf ball-sized rounds. And if you're feeling fancy, you can dip lollipop sticks into melted peanut butter or melted chocolate, which kind of acts as a glue, and place them into each cake ball. If you're not feeling sticks, that's fine too. Prep a sheet tray with wax paper for your finished cake pops. And now the fun begins. Melt candy bark, peanut butter, or chocolate of your choice, maybe some of those leftover Hershey candy bars, along with a dash of vegetable oil. You can do so by placing your bowl in the microwave for 10 seconds at a time, stirring frequently. Once melted, dip each cake pop or cake ball into your melted confection of choice. Let them sit on the wax paper until they're completely dry, about 10 minutes. Feel free to pop them in the freezer if you just can't wait to enjoy them. Starla in Houston, Texas, recommends crushing up Whoppers or Kit Kats to make cupcake sprinkles. I've gotta say, she's onto something sweet. I could imagine those would be perfect on top of buttercream frosted cupcakes. If you're a malt beverage drinker, try something a little different. Put Skittles, Now or Laters, or Jolly Ranchers into your bottle before sipping. Let them melt for an extra burst of fruit flavor. Popcorn is easily one of my favorite pastimes, and maybe with this recipe, it'll become one of your favorite pastimes too. For this one, you'll need 8 cups of popcorn, a liberal pinch of salt, 6 tablespoons of butter, 5 cups of mini marshmallows, oh, and of course, your candy mix-ins. Candy corn actually works great for this one. Prepare your popcorn and candy of choice in a large mixing bowl. Melt your butter over medium heat. Add in your marshmallows and salt and stir until melted. Pour the marshmallow liquid over your popcorn and coat evenly by mixing with gloved hands. Alternatively, you can use nonstick spray on your hands. Form them into balls or spread your popcorn out evenly on a parchment paper lined baking sheet. This sweet and salty snack is perfect for fall time. Have any questions about these or other recipes shared on Tactical Snacking? Don't be afraid to email me at tacticalsnacking@yahoo.com. Thanks for spending your morning with me. Have a happy, festive Halloween. Be safe. And until next time, stay hungry, my friends.
Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who has been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Beatros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. aaronsgunshop.com.
It is
now time for the master of manners, the communicator of common sense, and the epitome of encyclopedia, Officer Randy Dixon, the voice of law enforcement.
Hey, good morning, everyone. Hope you're having a great Saturday. The sun is shining. It's cool outside. Unfortunately, the poor little Bambis are running for their lives today. They're running for their lives. Opening day of deer season, so understand? So it's one of them happy holidays in the state of Texas. Everybody's out there trying to get their freezers full already. But, you know, kind of going on what was talked about in the earlier segments today, I'm going to be talking a little bit about firearms and about firearms around your house. You know, there's been a lot of things that have happened over the last couple of weeks, especially some of the mass shootings and things of that nature. And this is a firearms show. And by all means, we're pro-firearms, and I'm pro-firearms. But I think you need to know and have some proper training. And, you know, you've got your host of the show, Mr. Matt, who has the opportunity for everybody to get that done. So that's what I'm basically going to talk about today a little bit. Now, also, a couple of things that I think is important for everybody to understand. And I have to get on my soapbox about this a little bit. You know, we talked about just a few minutes ago about rhetoric and about, especially if you've been watching any of the television, you can't get over rhetoric. Well, I have a simple definition for rhetoric. It's those that can really talk good bullshit. Now, I'm not going to use the other word, but that's what rhetoric is. You know, it's people that try to convince you of one thing. So the only thing I'm going to say is this about politics, because I hate to talk about politics. Politics and religion, the two things that tear families apart, tear friends apart. But if you don't go vote this coming Tuesday, then I personally feel you don't have the right to complain and gripe about anything that's going on. So my encouragement is, whoever you vote for, even if it's for Donald Duck or Daffy Duck, go out there and cast a vote. Have your voice be heard, because otherwise you really don't have a right to complain. And think about that a minute. You know, I know that the last, especially in city elections and state elections, apathy runs really wild around our country, and sometimes it does about the use of firearms as well. So when you have a chance to make it a voice or say something, go out and do that. I think there was an election that was held not too far from here, that a city election, and I think the turnout was 12 votes yes for one candidate, 9 votes for the no for the other candidate, vice versa. You know, when you only have 20 votes cast in a precinct, there's really something wrong when a city's got 4,000 or 5,000 people in it. So get out there. Exercise your right to vote. Exercise your citizenship right. So, you know, we hear the president, and we hear all the counter against the president's talking about birthright, about being a citizen, about not being a citizen. Part of the responsibility of being a citizen is helping mold what happens in this country. You do that by your vote. So get out there. You know, every year many people are injured or hurt by improper storage or use of firearms, especially during hunting season. Many people go out, they haven't shot all year, and they think they can become the best shooter in the world by just going out. Unfortunately, when you don't practice, when you don't do things, you lose contact with what you're supposed to do as far as safety is concerned, as far as the marksmanship is concerned. So many times I get, you know, calls or get asked questions about weapons, and should I use a weapon in my home as a defense tool? You know, I'm always asked my opinion about whether or not I support the idea of having a personal defense weapon. My favorite line to reply to those is real simple. Refer to the Second Amendment of the Constitution. You know what that says? And yes, there's a strong movement now by many about firearms, long guns, and about semi-automatic rifles. They're trying to push against that. I'm going to say it once again. It's not the gun that's doing the harming of people. It's the person pulling the trigger that's doing the harm to the people. You know, what's the old saying? I'll give them my gun when they pry my dead cold hands away from it. Yeah. You know, the thing is, folks, we need to understand that we have to have weapons in our country to protect ourselves. It's a bottom line. So I'm going to implore you, and I'm going to challenge you, that if you're going to have a weapon, know how to use that weapon. You know, there may be a they talked about earlier segment today about you know, about making the choices when someone challenges you and somebody pulls a pressure on you or talks to you about something. Well, most people who carry weapons, most, and I'm saying that strongly, most people who use weapons, they know when and when not to use it. They have the temperament to know. There are a few out there, but we can't control every person. We can't control what happens in our country by every segment of those who may be a little mentally off or may have an axe to grind, or maybe they have a culture difference that they only know how to take out with a weapon. What I'm asking you to do, folks, is to understand that we have to be prepared. We have to be the one that goes out, and we have to be one that takes the time. A weapon does not necessarily guarantee safety. Not knowing how to safely or effectively use a weapon is a weapon used against you. I do believe that everyone has a right to have a firearm for protection if they wish to. Whatever gun you choose to use for home defense, you should become familiar with it. A firearm can potentially save your life and the lives of your family, but it isn't the firearm per se that gets the job done. It's the person behind it. Skill and determination, reinforced by regular practice, and I'm going to say that again, skill and determination with a highlight on reinforced by regular practice will carry the day for you. It is vital that anyone who wishes to use a firearm be trained in that firearm. In our area, we have several gun ranges. Only the best one is Aaron's Gun Shop. That's the one you should go to because he knows what to do. He's got the temperament. He's got the ability, and he will help you become a better shooter. The overall top-rated choice for home defense guns, most of the time, everybody thinks is going to be a pistol. I'm here to tell you the best overall firearm for the home, in my opinion, is a shotgun of some kind, usually a short-barrel shotgun. You know, and, you know, revolvers, though, are ambidextrous. That's true. You know, a revolver usually holds six cartridges, but some hold more, some hold less, etc. I have, personally, for my home defense weapon, I use a Ruger Judge. And I keep it loaded the first three rounds with a double-aught buck, and the last three rounds usually with some good old 45 long Colt. And that's made by Taurus, which is not a Ruger, it's a Taurus, I'm sorry. And I've had that gun now for about 10 years. I've taken it out, I've tried it, and I've practiced with it. I dispatched a snake not too long ago with it. Works great for things such as that. But you can't just grab your gun and commence firing when someone walks in the house. You know, you've got to know what you're doing. You've got to know how to do it. One of the worst things you can do, one of the absolute worst things you can do for yourself, is to think you can just pick up a gun, have a dead sleep, and shoot your target. Folks, too many tragedies have taken place. Too many things have happened when someone is not trained. If you're one of those type of sleepers, and you got to know yourself, but if you're one of those type of sleepers that get startled easy, and when you get startled, you just kind of fly off the handle, there's nothing worse than shooting someone of your own family.
Can I add to that, Chief?
Absolutely.
Am I out here on this mic? Chief, there's a quick story. I'm not going to give you 100% details, but here's the deal with an inexperienced shooter. They're in bed at night. The husband hears a noise, picks up the gun, shoots, I don't know, 3 to 5 rounds in the direction of the noise, ends up shooting his wife 3 times because he did not know, one, to check where everybody was, identify the threat. So you're absolutely right. Waking up from a sleep can be extremely dangerous.
It can be. And I know that here about 8 or 9 years ago, I'm familiar with a case out of the Houston area where a gentleman woke up in the middle of the night, the exact same scenario as Matt just said. And unfortunately, he shot his daughter that was coming in late at night. You know, if you're not going to practice, if you're not going to plan, don't put a firearm in your home. That's my bottom line. I'm pro-firearms. I believe in firearms. I think firearms are the safest. By God, we're in Texas. But I will tell you this. If you're not going to take the time to learn how to use it, don't put yourself or your family at risk, especially if you've got younger children. Make sure how to know what to do with those firearms. Make sure to know how to put them up. You know, if you can't do that, then you don't need one. You know, kids explore drawers, cabinets, and closets. They love to do that. You know, it's better to talk about it now about your child when they're young than wait for when they're older and an accident could have already taken place. Teach your child that if they find a gun, they should leave it alone. Tell them to leave the room and to tell an adult right away. that also goes along if your child is going to stay at grandma and grandpa's house or aunt and uncle's house or just another friend's house. If they see a gun, explain to them when they're young the safety factors involved. Explain to them how dangerous it is, that they have to be able to stay away from certain things. You know, when I was growing up, every Christmas, I had an uncle named Uncle Cleve out of Dallas. And every single Christmas, and I think that's probably why I became a police officer, he gave me a Roy Rogers cap and gun set. Of course, I had to put some extra string in it with my size, but, you know, I wore that probably every year. And I know for 6 years straight, I had those. Guns were a part of my life, part of my family's life. We had them around our house. If you're going to have a gun, know what to do with it. Know how easy it is for it to go off and hurt someone. The bottom line is, lock your guns up, use your guns, make sure you practice with your weapons. Practice, practice, practice. Folks, I'm about out of time, and I want to cut this off today, but just saying a couple quick things. You know, if you're going to take care of your family, you've got to take care of them in all ways, not just by financially. Take care of them mentally, physically, but if you're going to do it, and you're going to do it with a firearm, make sure you have that firearm ready for them. So without any further ado, folks, I hope you have a great, great week. Enjoy this weekend. It's supposed to start raining tomorrow. Watch a couple of football games on this weekend, and have a great weekend, everybody. Good luck to the deer hunters.
If you're planning a party for a wedding, birthday, anniversary, corporate event, or just to have fun, and you plan to serve alcohol, you need a bartender. Aaron's High Cap Nightcaps Bartending Service is who you need to call. Aaron's High Cap Nightcaps provides a complete portable bartending service. When you provide adult beverages to your guests, you want them served fast, correctly, and with flair. Aaron's High Cap Nightcaps can do that for you. TABC certified, professional, and with a complete bar setup, Aaron's can help make your social event one to remember for a long time. Call Aaron's now at 254-482-0557 or email Aaron's at mail@aaronsnightcaps.com. Make Aaron's High Cap Nightcaps your first call and last call when you want a professional bartender for your next social or corporate event. Call 254-482-0557 or go to aaronsnightcaps.com. And that's powerful stuff.
These days, you can't afford to take care of contracting issues alone. You need someone who will be there to do what is best for you and your project. I'm Jason Donoff, and that's what we do at EBCO Development. Take care of you and your construction project from start to finish. For quality new construction, remodel, and roofing services, call EBCO Development at 254-697-2186. And know that we will be there for you. EBCO Development. Let's see what we can build together.
Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who has been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Bitros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. AaronsGunshop.com.
For sales, service, maintenance, and supplies for our motorcycles, ATV, four trackers, and more, stop by Two Wheel Customs, located on Highway 53 in Zopchickville. Open Tuesday through Saturday, Two Wheel Customs offers the best in repairs and maintenance on any make, model, or size of motorcycle. If you're looking to buy or sell your unit, David Trojan and his crew can take all the hassle of paperwork and displaying your motorcycle. If you're looking to buy, Two Wheel Customs always has vehicles on display for purchase. In addition, you can find a store full of varying apparel, everything from boots to helmets, along with a great inventory of accessories for your motorcycle. Give Two Wheel Customs a call at area code 254 254-760-2250. That's 254-760-2250. Two Wheel Customs on Highway 53 in Zapchickville.
Cabellino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron focuses on cases involving personal injury litigation, including asbestos exposure and mesothelioma. At Cabellino Dodd Krebs Law Firm, you are never treated like a number. Cases are accepted on a contingency basis, so clients do not have to pay out of their pocket. Contact Cabellino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron today. Call 888-MISO-FIRM.
Arch Coons, the owner of ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer, Texas, is an avid gun enthusiast and enjoys helping all of his customers to find the gun that's perfect for them. With a large selection of pistols, rifles, and shotguns, finding the right gun becomes easy. Go to ANC Firearms, located at 5819 U.S. Highway 190 in Heidenhammer, or call them 254-983-4417. Pistols, rifles, shotguns, ammo, knives, and a whole lot more. ANC Firearms, 254-983-4417.
Everybody, we are back again. Today is November 3rd, 2018. And in this part of the show, I want to give a shout out there to George at Liquor Depot in the Milan Plaza right next to Brookshire Brothers. We're, as you know, everybody, and you've heard on the ads, I'm a bartender, okay? And I serve them up in a fast manner, correct manner. I do it with some flair and the whole works. And when I go into his store there, I just look at all the beer, wine, and spirits, and I'm thinking, my gosh, we could have a party, okay? So I looked on the shelf, being November, and we found out, or I saw this. I know it's there, but I saw it and it popped out, and I'm showing it to you in the video here. It's Wild Turkey 101. It's Kentucky Straight Bourbon Whiskey. Now, turkey, get it? Wild Turkey Thanksgiving. So what I want to do is give you a quick read on this. Wild Turkey is a brand of Kentucky Straight Bourbon Whiskey distilled and bottled by the Wild Turkey Distilling Company, a division of Campari Group. In 1891, Thomas Rippey built the Old Hickory Distillery in Tyrone, Kentucky, near Lawrenceburg, on the former site of an old Moore distillery. After Prohibition, the Rippey family, Thomas had died in 1902, repaired the distillery and began to again produce bourbon. The Rippey sold the bourbon produced at his distillery to various wholesalers who bottled bourbon under their own brands. Austin Nichols was one of those wholesalers. The Wild Turkey brand is said to have arisen after Austin Nichols' executive Thomas McCarthy took some warehouse samples on a wild turkey hunting trip in 1940. The bourbon proved so popular among his friends, they continued to ask him for that Wild Turkey bourbon. Austin Nichols began to bottle Wild Turkey in 1942. So that's a little bit of backstory on Wild Turkey. This is 101 brand. They got a little bit less potent. This is what, 50% alcohol based on volume? Woo. Now, because I love y'all, what I did was I drew some pictures for you, okay? And I've got a couple recipes here. And one of the recipes you can do with Wild Turkey 101 is called Thanksgiving 101. That's the name of the drink. Okay, what you're going to do is get a rocks glass, fill it with some ice. You're going to put 2 ounces of Wild Turkey 101 proof bourbon in it, then 2, 3, 4, 5 cranberries, whatever you desire, and a sprig of rosemary. So I'm going to show it to you now on the video. Here it is. Here's your rocks glass. You got your rocks in it, the ice. You're going to fill it up there with your Wild Turkey, 2 ounces of Wild Turkey. And you'll notice here the pretty little picture. We got the cranberries in there and the sprig of rosemary. So that's Thanksgiving 101 recipe. It looks like a nice looking drink. It's a nice tasting drink. It's got, if you check the backstory on how it's made and what's in it, you get to taste the different types of flavors like the hazelnut and all that. So check that out too. So that's one drink you can do for the upcoming Thanksgiving season. And then the next one, I thought this was pretty cool. This is a shot drink. It's called Thanksgiving Dinner. It takes 1 ounce of Wild Turkey 101, and a half an ounce of cranberry juice, and then you microwave it for 10 seconds. So here we go. Here's the picture. Here's the 1 ounce of wild turkey, and then you're going to add into it the half ounce of cranberry juice, and you'll notice it turns its color. Stick it in the microwave, and then down the throat she goes, okay? So like I said, you may burn your turkey or it may go dry, but when it comes to Wild Turkey 101 bourbon, it's perfect every time. So go see George at the Milam Plaza right next to Brookshire Brothers Liquor Depot. Tell him you heard it here and square yourself away for your bar or your ice box getting ready for those holidays. And don't forget, I can serve bar for you if you got a party going on. Aaron's Nightcaps, go to aaronsgunshop.com. Check it out on the page there. And we do complete and affordable bartending service, fast, correct, with flair. And we can make your party a good one. And so if you need a party, I can tell you, based on how many people you got, how much liquor you're going to need, we can make drink menus, the whole works. You can get all your liquor there from George at Liquor Depot, and he can give you discounts on volume purchases. So we'll hopefully hear from you soon. And don't forget to go to Liquor Depot for your wine, beer, and spirits. Now, let me go to our product spotlight. Our product spotlight is sponsored by ANC Firearms out of Heidenhammer. And today, this week, it's going to be the Springfield M1A rifle. And a lot of people have been hitting me up on this one. Obviously, we got hunting season today with the rifle, and that's a great rifle to use if you're hunting. And Arch Kuntz is the owner of ANC Firearms. We got Clint, Mike, and Dennis, his staff there, great guys. They got pistols, rifles, shotguns, ammos, knives, accessories, reloading equipment, all sorts of good stuff. The number, 254-983-4417, and they've got a beautiful, beautiful, absolutely beautiful M1A on the shelf. And if you go to aaronsgunshop.com, go to the Facebook page or my Instagram, you'll see me holding it. It's so long, I can't get the whole thing in the picture. I got to like drag it up and down the screen here. So let me read you a little bit about it. And then I've also brought mine in to the studio today, and I want to show it on the video because it's almost like the one that ANC Firearms has. And while I'm talking, I'm going to grab it right now. And with a collective effort, what's the first thing we do when we get a firearm, everybody?
I think you clear the weapon, don't you?
Clear the weapon. Make sure it's clear of ammunition. Magazine out first. And look, it's got ammo. Pull the bolt back to the rear. Chamber is clear. Mark, would you clear and check that for me?
Weapon's clear.
Weapon's clear and on safe. And here it is. It's a beautiful one. However, the one at ANC's has the long, full-length barrel, stainless barrel. Mine is the short, I believe they call it the bush rifle, I believe this one's called. I kind of modified it, though. It came with a wooden stock, and I put the fiber stock on it. But this is kind of what it looks like. It's got the scope on it. It's got the leather sling on it. And it's got the adjustable butt stock, the one at ANC Firearms. Mine, I just got a butt pad on it. So let me read to you a little bit about this awesome rifle. I got this from, I think it was American Rifleman. .org. This is by Gil Horman, and I'm going to read just bits and pieces of it. Rather than delving into the historical aspects of this highly esteemed rifle, I wanted to find out more about the new production models and the features they're sporting today. If you want a cutting-edge interpretation of the M1A, then Springfield Armory is the company to talk with. That was where I was coming from. There's so much to talk about. There's so much history of this rifle. I can't do that. I just got to go basically to the commercialized aspect of it. So the author spent some quality time at the range with the new loaded M1A configured for long-range shooting. It's pretty much the same one that is at ANC Firearms at the moment. Chambered in 7.62 NATO, the 308 Winchester, Springfield's M1A is a gas piston-driven semi-automatic rifle that employs a rotating bolt. This action and ammunition combination has proved to be utterly reliable in the harshest combat conditions. A high level of dependability is certainly a plus in such a competition gun. The receiver is constructed of investment cast AISI 8620 alloy steel and treated with matte black parkerized finish. The premium medium weight match grade air gauge stainless steel barrel is 22 inches long with six groove rifling cut at 1 11 inches right hand twist. The muzzle is fitted with the traditional 3-inch long M14 style birdcage flash suppressor. The factory iron sights consist of a national match 0.062-inch blade in front and an adjustable match grade 0.052 aperture in the back. Now, I understand a lot of people who aren't into this gun aren't going to understand all this, but those of you who are, you understand what I'm talking about. The rear sight features manual adjustment knobs with one MOA per click shift for elevation and half MOA per click for windage. The loaded M1A does not arrive with a scope mount, but factory options are available. The smooth-faced steel bow trigger is housed in a rounded steel sheet trigger guard. The ambidextrous safety lever is located in the front of the trigger guard, where it can be pressed forward into the fire position using the trigger finger. The two-stage trigger was very smooth with a clean break. And I'll tell you, it's just a nice gun to shoot, okay? I've got different variations of this in every one of them. They're just awesome. This rifle demonstrates an excellent level of fit and finish from stem to stern. All the controls and adjustments operated as advertised without any malfunctions or hangups. All the test ammunition from all-purpose soft points to premium match grade ran reliably and tuned and turned in respectable levels of accuracy. Designed to handle the quick elevation changes required for prairie dog environment hunting, a lever and clutch mechanism on the left side allows for quick fluid adjustments when needed or small incremental adjustments for precision long-range shots. Calling the Springfield Armory's loaded M1A a rugged gun just doesn't do the platform justice. It's overbuilt in all the right ways. With its modern features and adjustable stock, the M1A loaded model is a top-notch modern take on a classic. Ladies and gentlemen, ANC Firearms and Heidenhammer has it on the shelf right now. Go look at my website, aaronsgunshop.com. Go to the Facebook page. You'll get to see a part of it, as much as I could show as close up as I was to the camera. You get to see it. Call them up at 254-983-4417. Tell them you heard it on the radio here. Go there and buy it because somebody else is going to and you're going to miss out. Okay? ANC Firearms, 254-983-4417. Joel, let's take a break. And when we come back, my brother from another mother, retired Green Beret, Mark Boyer, is here in the house. And we're going to talk to him and we're going to discuss training when it comes to school districts and seminars that we've done, which will remain unnamed. See you on the other side.
Arch Coons, the owner of ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer, Texas, is an avid gun enthusiast and enjoys helping all of his customers to find the gun that's perfect for them. With a large selection of pistols, rifles, and shotguns, finding the right gun becomes easy. Go to ANC Firearms, located at 5819 U.S. Highway 190 in Heidenhammer, or call them 254-983-4417. Pistols, rifles, shotguns, ammo, knives, and a whole lot more. ANC Firearms, 254-983-4417.
Hi, everyone. Matt, your host from Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio program here, and I'm very excited to tell you about our new sponsor, Liquor Depot, located in the Milam Plaza right next to Brookshire Brothers. As you know, I'm a bartender, and when I walk into Liquor Depot, I get excited looking at all the variations of wine, beer, and spirits. So if you're going to have a party, wedding, or business event, and you want to serve alcohol, Liquor Depot is the place to come to stock your bar and your icebox. Great prices, excellent selection, and lots of friendly help to get you what you need. There are lots of great enhanced gift ideas, too, for any occasion. Liquor Depot is open Monday through Saturday from 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. and is located at 1604 West 4th. So stop in today and stock up or call Liquor Depot at 254-605-0766.
If you're planning a party for a wedding, birthday, anniversary, corporate event, or just to have fun, and you plan to serve alcohol, you need a bartender. Aaron's High Cap Nightcaps Bartending Service is who you need to call. Aaron's High Cap Nightcaps provides a complete portable bartending service. When you provide adult beverages to your guests, you want them served fast, correctly, and with flair. Aaron's High Cap Nightcaps can do that for you. TABC certified, professional, and with a complete bar setup, Aaron's can help make your social event one to remember for a long time. Call Aaron's now at 254-482-0557 or email Aaron's at mail@aaronsnightcaps.com. Make Aaron's High Cap Nightcaps your first call and last call when you want a professional bartender for your next social or corporate event. Call 254-482-0557 or go to aaronsnightcaps.com.
And that's powerful stuff.
Power. Sometimes you just need more. But what do you do when that yard equipment needs more or just isn't working like it used to? The answer is Cameron's Bald Engine, formerly Cameron Seed Company, where friendly service and quantity work stop at 408 West Bath. They provide all your outdoor power equipment needs. Check out their selection of Echo, Snapper, and Zero Turn Big Dog Mowers. Power through the summer with Cameron's Bald Engine. Call 254-697-3452 or stop in at 408 West Bath.
Capilino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron focuses on cases involving personal injury litigation, including asbestos exposure and mesothelioma. At Capilino Dodd Krebs Law Firm, you are never treated like a number. Cases are accepted on a contingency basis, so clients do not have to pay out of their pocket. Contact Capilino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron today. Call 888-MESO-FIRM.
For sales, service, maintenance, and supplies for our motorcycles, ATV, Ford Trackers, and more, stop by Two Wheel Customs, located on Highway 53 in Zopchickville. Open Tuesday through Saturday, Two Wheel Customs offers the best in repairs and maintenance on any make, model, or size of motorcycle. If you're looking to buy or sell your unit, David Trojan and his crew can take all the hassle of paperwork and displaying your motorcycle. If you're looking to buy, Two Wheel Customs always has vehicles on display for purchase. In addition, you can find a store full of varying apparel, everything from boots to helmets, along with a great inventory of accessories for your motorcycle. Give Two Wheel Customs a call at area code 254-760-2250. That's 254-760-2250. Two Wheel Customs on Highway 53 in Zopchickville.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio program. It's November 3rd. We got about 24 minutes left in the show. And once again, don't forget to get your CEFCO goodies and go to Clem McKeska's to get your special deals. The barbecue plate, one full price, second and half price. If you order the catfish plate, you get an extra piece of fish free. But you must say you heard it here on the radio show, okay? And now, to my left, my brother from another mother, Mark Boyer, retired Green Beret. Mark, you're awesome, dude. Welcome to the show, man. Welcome to the show.
I pay you a lot to say that. Thank you very much, sir.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
We're on here because we had a lot going on last weekend.
It's been a very, very busy week.
And you got some things you want to go over, and I can't wait to hear. So why don't you grab your mic and
okay.
Make sure your pretty face is showing on the camera here so when we post it. And let's go over things, what you got to
talk. So
the number here, everybody, is 254-697-6633 if you want to chime in with a comment, question. All bad comments go to Joel. He'll file them in the round file there by the corner. Okay.
Go ahead. Joel is great. And with regards to the pretty face, I do not have Navy written on my forehead. All right. They make the best movies, by the way. But we got John Wayne, the Green Beret.
Uh-huh.
All right. My first thing I wanted to say was kudos to George over at the Liquor Depot, because I have hit him up with Guinness Stout. He didn't have it, but he made a special order. And he got it for me. My wife, she had a special request. He orders it for her. So anything that anybody wants out there, George can make it happen. He's fantastic about it, and you'll have it probably back within a week.
Love Sounds George. Great. Love you, George.
Another thing I wanted to mention was a lot of people this week, for some reason, wanted to thank me for my service. Now, I had 30 years in the Army, but most of that was just for me because I like blowing things
up. By the way, Mark.
And jumping out of airplanes.
Thank you for your service. I appreciate that.
Well, you're welcome, sir. Thank you for yours.
We
got law enforcement out there and emergency medical services out there every day, folks. So also keep them in your hearts and your prayers, because they do a job. They face the threat every day, crisis situations. And then also our school teachers out there. Now, Matt and I, we had the privilege and honor to work with some school teachers this last weekend. And they are shaping the future of America by taking care of your children while they're at school. Being a parent's a tough job, but when you're responsible for other people's children, that's an entire different responsibility. So I want to thank the school teachers and the school faculty, all the way down to the people who are taking care of the greens and the property and the hallways. Thank you very much for what you do. It means a lot for America and our future. So thank you again. Matt?
Yes, sir.
We had a heck of a weekend.
We had an extremely good weekend.
And not only did we do a lot of educating and training, but I think we learned a lot also from the people we were training.
Well, we did, because this is kind of something, this is new. I mean, we do training all the time. We get people in seminars all the time, but it's a different aspect. It's self-defense training on the street, in the home. But now we're talking about people who have to protect children in an environment that is not the greatest for protection because there's so many vulnerabilities. So we're studying it. We're learning new techniques and all this kind of stuff. And it, what we did show demonstrated to be very good, though.
Yeah, the rules of engagement in a school-type environment are totally different than when you're walking into a 7-Eleven or a restaurant and you get held up, and then it's a self-defense type situation. But in this case, these school teachers who go to school every day because they care about the students, they care about them, and want to, they have almost a parental relationship with them. They sometimes spend more time with the children than the parents do. And that's regrettable to say, but it's true.
It's true.
And now, with a flick of a switch or a scream or a gunshot down the hallway, those school teachers or faculty members have to become protectors. A mother grizzly bear, perhaps, that goes out there to protect their young. And with a flip of the switch, they have to do that. And it's a hard mindset to grasp.
Clarify that flip of the switch. I mean, that's a quick comment that you and I say all the time, but it could be a passing thing to somebody they don't pick up on. What do you mean by flip of the switch?
Say you're at a church picnic, or maybe you're at a school organization day, a football game, or you're giving a spelling test where you have total attention with the students. But now all of a sudden something comes from the outside. You hear a gunshot, you hear a scream, perhaps a small explosion or shrapnel coming through the window. You have to flip that switch from green, a calm attitude, to maybe a little more stressful attitude where you're surrounded by a lot of people, a lot of noise. And now something has taken place. Something has acted upon that situation. So now you have to react, and you have to go to red crisis situation, total attention on the threat. And that's what happens when you and I are at the shopping mall or someplace where it's legal to carry a weapon. And then all of a sudden you're faced with a threat, not only to yourself, or you see other people in danger.
Mm-hmm.
You have to go to active mode right there.
You know, another analogy could be you're looking at the lion's den from up above in the zoo. And it's like, oh, look at it. Aren't they cute? They're big kittens. And all of a sudden you get pushed in and now you're in the lion's den. Your attitude just changed. That's how quickly it can happen. So what Mark's saying is no matter what your environment is, you're at peace one time, you know, stroking your child's hair, and all of a sudden, the next thing you know, you're racking a slide on your pistol, which you shouldn't do because there should be one in the chamber anyway. We'll talk about that later. All right, go ahead.
Yeah, when you're properly trained. Hey, Matt, as I was doing this training, and you made it perfectly clear, this is a rainbow effect where we're going all through the spectrum of understanding the mechanics of the weapon, the functions of the weapon, the different type of
actions and action. Resets, triggers, the whole works.
And all that is so important. You have to know the tools of the trade. You have to understand it completely in and out. And you need to know how to troubleshoot it in case something goes wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And in that case, like you've said many times, when your weapon goes wrong or if you pick up another weapon, you have to know how to manipulate it. Well, you're the best at that I've ever seen. And I've been around the world. I've seen the best of the best. And you're up there, brother. But then in my aspect, where I was teaching close quarters battles, CQB, room clearing techniques, how to work on the glide, assess, you know, that's a 40-hour course.
Mm-hmm, yes.
Minimum. And in the military...
Let me add to that. It's so foreign if you've never done it before. It takes time. You may understand it up in the brain, mm-hmm. but to get the brain and the body to coordinate into a smooth action, it takes time, like you're saying.
Oh, it's repetition.
Repetition, yeah.
Repetition. And as I'm training militaries around the world on this action, it's common knowledge to them mm-hmm. about what we're going to be doing, the language, the intensity, the pain that's going to be involved, because usually at the end of my courses, people are bleeding and crying.
Job but, well done.
That's what I thought. The bear taught me well. But now, as we were teaching the school district and some of their chosen faculty member, no, actually, they weren't chosen. They volunteered for this responsibility.
That's
which,
right.
Which ramps up my respect for them even more.
I mean, they have to go through a specific selection checklist, whatever, from the state, I guess, has set something up where they have to go through. If they volunteer, they have to go through certain steps to see if they'll allow you to be a volunteer. And then once they pass, those of who we trained are the ones who passed all those requirements, psych evaluation and whatever.
Right. The sheriff and the school resource officer, they're more restricted towards law enforcement type training. whereas the Guardian program has to be approved, but yet it's school teachers taking the lead on this mm-hmm. and the responsibility. And that's what we saw out there this last weekend. It was incredible. We had a whole spectrum. We had elementary teachers, middle school teachers, junior high teachers, high school teachers. Then we also had people from throughout the school, lawns and care mm-hmm. people,
yep,
bus drivers, things of that nature, people who are involved with the children one-on-one. And so when we're doing our training, we had to go to their level and their level of understanding, I should say. They've spent years getting that education diploma.
Well, let's clarify what you just said there. When you go to the level, what it is, we're identifying where they are at mentally and physically when it comes to running the gun. That's why I use my mathematical formula.
Yes.
There's gun math. Matt's gun math is this: M1 plus M2 equals RT. And what it is mindset. You got to have the proper mindset. Plus, the other M is mechanics. You got to understand your mind, your weapon in your body, and physical locations. Because if you master each one of those, your response time, the RT, gets quicker and quicker and quicker. So what we're just trying to do is evaluate each person is to see what their mindset is, what their physical abilities are, and put them on the scale and see and to balance out their training and speed of progression.
And their strengths.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It was a great experience for me. It was a humbling experience for me because I realized that my organizational skills were very much lacking. When I got to compress 40 hours of training at least into a four-hour block of training, I'm wanting to introduce every aspect of that training to the students so that they can take it home and continue their education, continue their training. And I don't want to miss anything, but it taught me that we have to train to standards and not to time.
That's right.
Now, we have to continue the training.
I want to support your frustration. When I was doing license to carry classes, I mean, way in the beginning, I think it was like a 15-hour class, two-day class. I can't remember anymore. But then when I've been doing it for years, it was a 10 to 11-hour class, 10 to 12-hour class. I can't remember that anymore. So I had a lot more time to explain, give example, practice, reiterate all the different laws, techniques. But then with the signing of the laws back in 2011, reducing the time for a class and reducing the need for renewing your class except for going online, I have to cram the most important stuff that I think is important for the student in a 4.5-hour training class. 1 hour is dedicated to shooting, which makes it a 5.5-hour course. Okay. Cramming all this information in 4.5 hours to novice people, even people who have shot guns before, leaves you, the instructor, like you were saying, shaken because it's like, I don't feel like I'm adequately doing my job. But you are within the constraints of the state requirements, and you can't do anymore. That's why we do these seminars on the outside, ladies and gentlemen. What you can't get in the class, you come on out on the separate side and do a seminar, and you get the class.
And you get the class to a finer point. It's all part of the continuation of education mm-hmm. and training. And we're talking about the use of weapons, which means that usually somebody's either going to be destroyed or their lives are going to change forever.
That's right.
Now, when I was thinking about that aspect and the total awesome responsibility of that, I was thinking about our basics. When a young person goes to school and they learn driver's education, how long is driver's ed? You're a young man. I'm a Cro-Magnon Neanderthal.
We're talking to Joel here.
About six hours for driver's training. Wow.
Doesn't teach you about snow on the road, does it? Yeah, I've noticed that.
Well, the reason I say that is more people have been killed with cars than with guns, haven't they?
Mm-hmm.
And that's all the training that they get? That's not enough to me. That's substandard, right? But, of course, here in Texas, everybody was raised on the farm, and everybody learned how to drive the truck before they were 10.
That aspect of it is a non-negotiable item. We'll never win that debate, okay? But when it comes to the guns, I'm going to stick to it. Yeah, I'm never, ever going to support somebody taking your gun rights away. Never. That's why I put a uniform on. I'm going to defend it to the death, okay? But I can't embarrass you enough to say, you're going to carry that gun and you've got no training. Shame on you. You better know how to use that weapon. Shame on you for carrying that gun irresponsibly. So hopefully Absolutely. I can use my right of freedom of speech to shame you, the person who is not doing what it takes to become proficient with that firearm into maybe getting some extra training.
And that being said, don't be ashamed. Be proud of who you are and come out and get proper training with it. No matter where you go, as long as you go out to try to train with that weapon, then you're showing some responsibility and being a good gun owner.
Now, I want to make something clear here, too. Everybody, I think you know this. I make money doing this. That's obvious. Okay? That's just the benefit of my ideology. My ideology is I'm here on this planet to teach. I teach guns, and I teach it well. Okay? The money comes. I'm not on the radio doing this to say, come so I can get $60 for a license to carry class. I'm doing it because I'm driven to do it, to share what I've learned to you. Okay, yeah, I get paid. Great. It pays the bills. And I'll take the money for sure. But the bottom line of it is, y'all need to, those, and I'm talking to y'all, are the ones who aren't doing what you're supposed to be doing if you're carrying a gun. You got to get trained. So here I am. Here's Mark. We're doing it out of a love of a, it's in our blood. Cut us and guns and bullets fly out of it. Okay.
But so people are getting killed every day because of irresponsible gun ownership. And yes, we got criminals out there who steal weapons, like hearing.
You said something there, and I just want to make a comment. I got this article here, since you brought it up.
Please do.
It goes, guns send over 8,000 U.S. kids to ER each year, analysis says. It goes here that 8,000. Now, if you've got a population of 350 million, do you know what percentage that is of the populace? It's 237/100,000 of the population. That gives you no right to take away my gun rights. It does give you the right to shout and embarrass and put people to shame the improper use of a handgun or a weapon, but it doesn't give the populace the right to take away my rights because 237/100,000 of the populace goes to the ER. It could have been because the magazine dropped on their toe, okay? So when it comes to these numbers, let's make sure we understand what they are and what percentage it comes to when it comes towards your right. Anyway, that's my...
And how much of that was irresponsible gun ownership?
A lot.
A lot. And I don't want to keep harping on that. But what I was going for was the amount of hours that it takes to train to reach that goal that you want. We said you can get a driver's license with 6 hours of training. Now, again, vehicles kill more people than guns do every year. And you probably know better statistics than that. But when you're talking about an engineer who builds a bridge that people drive over every day, that engineer, he goes to college for how many? Oh, man, we're running out of time.
No, we're good.
Okay. He goes to college for so many years.
I fearfully look over my left shoulder for Master Cindy Key, who, if she comes in, she's going to beat me up somewhat. But go ahead.
I understand. So, again, he puts people's lives at risk by building a bad bridge if he cuts corners. But good engineers, they don't cut corners. They don't cut their training. And neither should we when it comes to weapons. Med school. These guys go to medical school for 4, 6, 8, 10 years. And we trust them with our people's lives, all right? What about when you pick up that weapon? You decide a person's life in mere seconds. And so you need proper training for that. Our law enforcement people, they go to law school or law enforcement training. It's not a six-week course. It's usually like 6 months, if I'm not mistaken. But they have to learn so much because people's lives are at risk. And yet your license to carry class is only 4 hours. Mm-hmm. And that's to put a license in somebody's pocket so that they can carry a weapon downtown and within seconds determine somebody's life or death situation. And when we do our church crisis situation or our active shooter training for schools, churches, businesses, we can't do it all in one day. We can do an introduction. We can do the rainbow effect. But it's up to those people who volunteer for that training to continue their education. And we, with our experience, we can't do that level of training in one day. We can't do it in 1 week. We have to go all the way. Or actually, we're creating almost a liability situation.
Look, you and I were just at the range the other day. We were speaking to each other and we're saying, you know, it's been a few days since we did this. My skill level is starting to loosen up on particular aspects, we need to go in there to refreshing ourselves. And
yes,
that's us. And we're communicating in fear of a perishable skill that it's very perishable, very quickly perishable, is gun accuracy with, you know, shooting a gun. And if you don't maintain it and practice it, you're going to lose it. And if you're losing it and you're still carrying it and something happens and you got to use it, you may be talking to Rick Dodd or attorney Benton Ross Watson. Okay. So you want to make sure you're doing a clean shoot.
I got to throw something out before I get off of here.
Okay.
All right. Part of this training that we identified, some people may not be able to take that shot in a crisis situation. However, if they're properly medically trained, they can still save lives by treating the wounded.
Absolutely.
So I wanted to encourage everyone. It doesn't have to be a mandatory thing like an activities coach. Everyone should go out and get Red Cross certified in not only CPR, but oxygen administration and the use of an AED. All right, those things save lives. But in a combat situation, and it's been proven in Iraq, Afghanistan, I got 10 years in the combat zone, at least 60% to 70% people bleed out. That's the cause of death. So as long as you get the proper Red Cross medical training and you can stop the bleed, you have saved a life.
It's funny you just said what you said, because people don't say that. What's the cause of death? Lack of blood. Yes, you got shot. Yes, there may be some shot locations that are instantaneous death. I get that. But most of the time, it's because you bleed out. And so if we can stop that bleeding and get them rushed to somebody who can fix them up, it'll save the day.
You stabilize, stop the bleed. And then most importantly, you can get out on Monday and Tuesday and vote.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Because I do not want Texas to become California. I do not want a sanctuary state. I want to raise my head proudly and say, I voted.
All right, here's what we're going to do, everybody. Mark, I was checking to see if Master Cindy Key was going to be able to join us. I don't think she's going to be able to join us. And now the sweat stops coming out of my forehead. I'm not going to get beat up today. So what we're going to do, let's take a quick minute break. And when I come back, we'll wrap up the show. And Mark, stand by for a minute. And we'll take it from there. So give me about a minute break and we'll be back.
If you're planning a party for a wedding, birthday, anniversary, corporate event, or just to have fun, and you plan to serve alcohol, you need a bartender. Aaron's High Cap Nightcaps Bartending Service is who you need to call. Aaron's High Cap Nightcaps provides a complete portable bartending service. When you provide adult beverages to your guests, you want them served fast, correctly, and with flair. Aaron's High Cap Nightcaps can do that for you. TABC certified, professional, and with a complete bar setup, Aaron's can help make your social event one to remember for a long time. Call Aaron's now at 254-482-0557 or email Aaron's at mail@aaronsnightcaps.com. Make Aaron's High Cap Nightcaps your first call and last call when you want a professional bartender for your next social or corporate event. Call 254-482-0557 or go to aaronsnightcaps.com.
And that's powerful stuff.
Welcome back, everybody. We got about a minute or so to go here. So once again, I want you to remember, go to CEFCO, get your coffee, your specials, and then go to Clem McKeskis and get your barbecue plate for regular price. Get the second one for half price. Get a fish basket. Get an extra piece of fish. Don't forget to go to Liquor Depot in the Milan Plaza next to Brookshire Brothers. Check out all our sponsors. Go to aaronsgunshop.com. Go to the radio page. You see all the links to the sponsors there. You got attorney Rick Dodd. You got Cameron Small Engine Repair. Kyle Van Cleve is incredible. I mean, all of our sponsors are great, and I can't thank them enough for supporting the show. Without them, I would not be on the air. So please check them out. And when you have trouble in those particular areas or you need something, go to them first, okay? And tell them you heard it here on the radio so that they know that it's working, okay? So until next week, ladies and gentlemen, keep your powder dry and God bless.
On the highway, going to a shadow.